This week's episode of Blue Mondays is brought to you by my beautiful bride, Kim, who got us this amazing setup for Christmas. Thank you. I love you, darling.
Thank you, Kim. Yes. And live fading.
Yeah. So speaking of New Year, I think we got to start off by just kind of apologizing a little bit to our devoted listeners. We did fade a little bit.
Well, it's to be expected. Those who know us and a lot of our actual, like, really loyal fans, know that we work at that big box retailer, and it's not really easy to get an extra day off here and there, especially with mixing in family and extra hours and things like that. So, I do apologize, but we're back.
Hey, and that is the important thing. So how was your Christmas?
It was very good. It was the first time I had different parts of my family with us. My grandmother, who's been living in Florida for pretty much my entire life, is now staying with us. So she was up for the first time, and was really able to make a lot of people surprised and happy with all the fun technology and gifts we were able to provide. I've already thanked you a bunch of times for the idea of getting the Digis, the little handheld Leapfrog games for my niece and nephew who still haven't put them down.
That's awesome. Yeah, because we bought them for the boys about a year and a half, 2 years ago, I think. It was instead of like a Game Boy or a PlayStation Portable or whatever. And, they are, well, a little technical difficulty.
It's live and dirty, folks. Yeah.
So, we did get them those for their, I think it was their birthday a few years ago. And, they're great for teaching things like spelling and math skills and all that.
Yeah, they've been able to put in their spelling lists for school and things like that. The first reaction, of course, was, a Nintendo DS or something like that, but if you can fit in a math problem here or there, and God forbid they actually learn something, it's definitely a little bit more desirable, especially for their age.
Yep.
I think we're about to have company.
Oh, hello.
Come on in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Chicken.
Enjoy.
Thanks.
Okay.
This never really works out right, because we always start recording and then the food comes and then it's like, want to eat the food.
Do I talk or eat? Why don't you go ahead and take the first bite and...
I'm gonna kind of maneuver my plate here a little bit. Coming to you live, as always, from our good standby. Ah, Steve, that's what I was trying to avoid.
Yep.
We have a butter fatality.
Oh, no. That's brand new equipment.
That's why I was trying to keep it out of the delicious whipped butter.
Yep. But,
You jump
wow,
right
that
in.
Was fast.
Thank you. Service is always amazing.
Here at our undisclosed location with animatronic moose heads on the wall.
Yes.
Was there any Blu-ray related gifting in your area?
No Blu-rays this year. Let me take that back. A couple of days prior to Christmas, as an early surprise, I got the something Dark Side Family Guy release that only came out on Blu-ray. Oh, no, wait a minute. Yeah,
it did come out on DVD.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I know that I tried to get the first one, the Blue Harvest, and
that's not on Blu-ray. That's actually a bit of a controversy right now.
That's aggravating because I want it on Blu-ray.
Yeah. But people in order to get it out on Blu-ray, they would have to go back and remaster it and everything like that. So. Unless they did it that way initially, which I'm sure we'll find out. I, on the other hand, we had a very blue Christmas.
A very blue Christmas?
Oh, yeah. I think the final tally, when we factor in what I spent some money on that my mother-in-law gave me, was I think we actually gained like 22 titles in the house.
Wow.
Over Christmas. A lot of it was the stuff that went on sale massively, massively cheap just before Christmas. I bought Kim The Devil Wears Prada and Dirty Dancing on Blu-ray. But I think the best reaction was when I gave her copy of Star Trek, which we're actually going to be reviewing next week.
Oh yeah, the one with the what we thought was a little tiny Enterprise model or replica, and it turned out to be pretty big, almost like to scale.
I don't know if I'd say quite to scale, but it was very impressive. Let's put it this way: it was so big that when she first learned that she was going to be getting it, because I'm a very bad secret keeper, she was initially planning on bringing it into work and putting the model on her desk, and now she has since completely changed her mind.
For lack of desk space.
Pretty much, yeah. You know, plus she doesn't want to let it out that she's such a geek at the office.
Did we actually want to pause for a few and actually be able to take a bite? Can you? Yeah,
pretty yeah sure I think that pause. Might be a good idea.
Well, so what was I saying about? Oh yeah, at my house for
something,
Christmas.
Yeah, 20 something.
Yeah, like 22 new titles, and there were a couple of them that were like TV episodes. Mm-hmm. So I mean, the sheer volume of new blue in the house is pretty impressive. A lot of it was, like I was saying, you know, some inexpensive stuff I picked up for Kim.
And, yeah.
My brother-in-law sent me like 4 or 5 discs for Christmas because he pulled my name out of the draw, and he works for Amazon.com.
Hi, convenient. Kevin. Kevin is a very good friend of mine.
So the podcasting kit not only brought to you by Steve's lovely wife, but also by Amazon.com.
Thank you, Amazon. But
I bought a Kindle.
Yeah. Actually, do you want to talk about that for a second?
Sure. Well, that was really the theme of this Christmas is, you know, just making sure I could get the best of the best for all those people around me. And my wife, who is a very avid reader, I finally decided to take the plunge and pick up the Kindle. And it was a question for a while whether we were going to go with the Kindle or the Kindle DX. And I'm not sure if you've seen the Kindle DX, but it's amazing.
Yeah, it's very big, isn't it?
It's about the size of a magazine.
Yep.
And you know, having talked to friends and those around me, you know, about which way I should go, you know, they said, you know, you can get a laptop for the price of the Kindle DX, but you know, you can get the Kindle and everything cool that goes with it, you know, like the like leather cover and maybe some gift certificates and things like that, and make it a little bit of a better gift. Unfortunately, it wasn't a surprise. I had to pull my wife aside and say, you know, you're the reader. You're the one that doesn't have the best eyesight in the world. You know, which one do you think you'd be more comfortable looking at? We actually sat there and drew out little diagrams and 5.9-inch diagonal, and yeah, I could probably read that, so... We went with the standard Kindle, for which she is very happy, and we've already messed around with the 3G and downloaded some books and whatnot, but she's still got so many just hard copy books. This is another tip to Amazon, by the way. If you ever come up with a way where I can download books that I've already purchased from you, that would be amazing. I'd be willing to pay a small amount for it, but not $10 each book.
I say, because Kim's had a Kindle for quite a while, and she absolutely adores it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the DX, I think they actually created specifically to address the fact that they are doing magazine and newspaper subscriptions.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a little bit easier to get those onto the larger screen. But have you used the text-to-speech function on it yet?
Not yet. The couple of books that we picked up did not have the text-to-speech capability built
be
in.
Be prepared to be bored by the sound of the voice that comes out of the Kindle.
You can't download different voices, like with my GPS, that he yells at me in a very nice English drone.
No, what I want is the Arabic version.
Yeah. I'll take Ozzy reading to me, please.
Sharon!
I was going to say, every other time, Sharon!
What's his word?
Yeah, that was horrible.
It's okay. It's worth leaving in there.
Yeah. But again, the wonders of post-production that
which
never
we
was.
Never do, yeah. Which has been brought to our attention by our hordes of adoring fans.
Actually, that was one thing I wanted to tell you about. I was doing some checking, and to those of you who have found us on our newly registered accounts on Podcast Pickle, yes, There's a Podcast Pickle website.
I was not aware we were on Podcast Pickle.
Yeah, we weren't up until a couple of days ago. And also Podcast Alley. A few new people have found us. We are now up to about 70 subscribers across the world.
Beautiful.
Yep. So if you're just jumping on, welcome aboard.
So really, when I address our dozens and dozens of fans, I'm not just making it up.
Not anymore. So, and we may hit the century mark before the end of the week.
Yeah, considering we're coming out with new content, people will be all sorts of excited.
Oh, yeah, I know. I'm all a quiver and... no, I'm not going to use that movie quote. Yeah, what the hell? Look at these nipples. am I excited? Look at these nipples. All right, and which brings us to District 9. Segways are for kids.
I'm trying to think. I was like, wait a minute. Was there a scene with nipples in District 9?
No, there wasn't. Although, one of the interesting things I learned by finally activating my BD Live was that the woman who played the lead character's wife was a former runner-up to Miss South Africa.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
You know what that tells me? They do not have many very attractive women in South Africa.
Now, don't alienate our South African Johannesburg fans. I'm sure there's one.
I don't think I am. Not at this point. I mean, but... Anyway, overall impressions, District 9.
I have some good and bad on it. I came in really expecting it to be amazing because I saw, you know, the viral marketing campaign and I saw a lot of the stuff that came out beforehand. And, of course, being a science fiction fan, as soon as I jumped into it and they're going in with the, you know, the, I don't want to say fake, but, you know, like a... dramatized newscasts and everything like that. You know, I really had a lot of hope for it. But it just kind of, overall, from the beginning to the end, like I was waiting for something kind of better to happen. And in my opinion, it never really did.
Really?
I mean, it was a good movie. I will give it that. I did enjoy it, but there was a couple of points where, I mean, specific scenes as well as just overall, like, you're really waiting for the other shoe to drop and something to come out and just really wow you and be original. Because really, you know, not only the short story that this was based off of, plus the movie itself, like, I love originality. It was really good with coming out with something new and exciting. But
you know, that's what I thought was really going to attract you to this and really make you like it, because there was so much new ground covered in this, you know.
Well, there wasn't, because my first thought when I watched the whole thing was I liked it better when it was called Schindler's List, because it's basically, if you step out of it and look back at it, that's what you were watching.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that obviously was the intent. It's actually the short film and short story that this was modeled after. Do you have to take that?
Yeah, I don't know what it is. Okay. Always in the podcast. Hello.
But what's as up? I was saying, the let's actually just
no,
wait
I'm
for
recording.
Arthur.
Recording. What's up? What do you need?
I'm gonna eat a French fry.
Yeah. All right. All right. Yeah. I'll try and touch base with you later. We're actually in the middle of the record. I'm got a mic in front of my face and everything. So. All right. Talk to you later. Bye.
How do you make that sound dirty? I got this mic sticking in my face.
All right, like, so...
Who's Mike?
So to just bring it right back to where we were at before the awkward pause and the phone call...
Schindler's List.
Schindler's List with prawns is really what it was. You know, and it made me think of a couple other different themes that you see throughout movies, too. I know you're a big fan of George Romero's work. You know, Dawn of the Dead, Night of the Living Dead, that type of stuff. That's also kind of the feeling that I got from this, because the...
Right, this I'm going to need to hear.
Yeah. With every zombie movie or Friday the 13th or... Well, maybe it's not a Romero theme so much as a horror theme, but you always get this group of people that you see them being just terrible, awful human beings or terrible, awful whatever they are. And... It becomes okay for them to die in ridiculously grotesque ways. That's kind of one thing that I got from this, because I'm watching, you know, District 9, and I'm seeing, well, for the lack of being able to remember his horribly difficult South African Norwegian sounding name, I'll just call him Joran Vandersloot.
That's actually very close.
All you see through this is you know, him being just this horrible monster and aborting the little egg things and kicking all these people out of their homes and just being really derogatory and really, you know, Holocaust-ish. So you really get from the beginning that, okay, that's the bad guy, and these people all around him are the horrible, you know, nasty creatures, i.e. the zombies in a Romero film. And it becomes okay for, you know, the heroes, or in this case the prawns, to just do these god-awful things to them, like liquefy them with guns from many, you know, hundreds of yards away. Towards the end of the movie, when you're just watching people explode every 2 to 3 seconds, you know, you don't sit back and go, oh, that's unnecessary, oh, that's gross. It's like, yes, they're finally getting it. Mm-hmm. You know, and the same things I know happen with, like, video game companies, where, you know, they'll want to come out with a game where you can just run in and kill people, but it's not okay to just run in and kill people. And those are the games that get the bad press and don't get sold and things like that. But the minute you make them zombies, or something that it's okay to kill, then it's really acceptable. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, the gore in this movie, and there was a decent amount of gore, was completely acceptable and completely fit in the story the way it needed to.
Right. I mean, it wasn't, you know, just, it wasn't for the sake of being gory.
Yeah, which is kind of what you expect. I mean, and for those of you who've been listening to us from the very beginning, you know, it's not explosions for the sake of explosions, Michael Bay. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not blowing people up with, you know, radio microwave guns just for the sake of seeing, you know, crimson spray everywhere. Like, you really sat back and went, now that guy had it coming. Mm-hmm. You know?
Now, one thing that I want to just kind of go back and touch on, really, is you actually saw the Vandersloot character as a bad guy?
Well, I saw him more, and saying this slowly, as a pawn and not a prawn.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the organizations that he was working for as the bad guy.
Yeah, that's...
He was just more of like an... He was a patsy. He was a fall guy.
Right.
You know, and I will kind of say, you know, oh, he was just doing his job. But, you know, there are those scenes at the beginning where he's just tearing through everything. And, oh, look, some contraband. And, oh, look, some eggs. Let's step on them. You know, I mean, at some point, it's... You know, you're not doing your job, and you're kind of taking pride in it, you know?
Right. Well, I mean, and that was something that, I mean, he was promised a promotion at the very beginning of
it.
You know, you go through, you do this, you make this documentary. You know, I had very little issue with him as a character. I mean, I saw him grow throughout the film. I mean, I don't think we're giving too much away by saying that at one point, he is actually sprayed by some sort of a chemical.
Yep.
And begins to actually transmogrify on a genetic level into one of the aliens, or at least, you know, some sort of a cross-breed hybrid.
Which is kind of one of my complaints, too, just kind of building off that, is...
Yeah, why would rocket fuel do that?
Thank you. Like, when all these, you know, the prawns are running around and they're digging through the trash and they're like, oh, we found the mysterious goo that we've been looking for 20 years... Like, I'm expecting, okay...
But we found enough of the goo.
It's like, okay, maybe they're making a virus or a weapon or something to be able to fight back against people. No, it's gas. And evidently gas turns you into an alien.
Well,
completely.
I mean, they did establish early on in the film that a lot of their technology was actually bio-organic.
Yes.
And therefore not subject to the same type of rules that we would think. It wasn't fuel in the sense of... You know, causing, you know, firing a mist, igniting it, causing it an explosion, and that translates into propulsion. You know, who knows what the sense of, you know, how this thing would move.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one thing that I thought they did lay a fair amount of groundwork down.
Yeah.
By also explaining that the weapons coming off of the ship were organic weapons. You know, there was something living about them. If anybody had seen, what was it, Existence? Did you ever see that, speaking of Cronenberg?
No.
Okay, actually, you were talking about Romero, but Cronenberg also is very big into... David Cronenberg made a movie a few years ago called Existence, which was basically the Matrix for people who really want to think, about gaming becoming a alternate reality type situation, and where your actual thoughts, feelings, beliefs, and actions will influence gameplay, and to the point where the games... are actually biological entities that plug into the human brain.
So, suggesting that one of the films we review, Gamer, would probably not be a good one.
No. Which is really too bad, because I really like Gerard Butler, but I'm not going to be able to force myself to see that. But, I mean, I didn't have too much of a problem. I mean, I was thinking about it, and I was going to make the same point that you just did about, you know, why is rocket fuel, you know, doing this to an individual? But then, you know, you have to take it on faith.
Yeah.
That it's a biological, you know, situation. I mean, mm-hmm. everything in this is alien. It's supposed to be weird. It's supposed to be unusual. It's supposed to have, you know, effects that we don't understand. You know, and as far as the, you know, the whole, you know, plot line goes and everything, I actually thought it was pretty amazing.
I mean, don't get me wrong, it was a good movie. There was just, like, there was so many different ways it could go, and I just really guessed that I wasn't expecting it to go in the way that it did. I actually, for the first half of the movie, thought that the Vandersloot character just was probably going to end up dying, and we were going to end up seeing some sort of battle or something like that, but then it just kind of, it turned into the whole, like, fugitive from justice situation.
Right.
And just as a side note, whenever there's a fugitive involved, he only has one good arm.
That's true. Yep. But then again, which arm was the good one? I could take a little bit more lemonade.
I'll do a second as well. Yeah. Thank you.
More lemonade is on the way, for those of you who are really concerned about that.
Thank you very much.
And actually, I just realized we didn't really go over the plot too much at all. I mean, and this is actually a film where we can discuss plot.
And if I had brought my notes with me, I remember seeing exactly
you
what
forgot
it was
them too.
Based upon, yeah. Well, I actually had some material prepared. Most of it's, you know, up here.
Yeah.
With the tapping on the head motion, which works very well in podcasts.
Maybe we'll do a vidcast someday.
Oh, yeah.
If people want to see us eating the chicken.
That would be amazing. Lost my train of thought.
Plot. You made notes. You came prepared, ironically. All right. Well, why don't we talk about the special effects a little bit then?
Yeah. One thing that really was a good part, really what made the film amazing, and something, considering this is a Blu-ray podcast and not just a straight-up movie review podcast, the special effects looked amazing. They look seamless to me.
It's one of the few times where I felt that an animated being or creature or
was there,
was physically part of the environment.
Yeah.
I mean, there was none of that little line around the outside of him.
Yep.
He didn't seem to be existing on another plane.
Yep.
You know, he was completely integrated. Christopher, the child, mm-hmm. you know, all of those, all of the prawns and everything, they were right there.
And again, building back to the Romero theme, that was another thing that just, I think, helped sympathize, make you sympathize with the prawns and make it okay to, you know, go against humanity is, like, he's the only child there, and it just so happens to be the one that you see all the time and the one that's with, quote-unquote, Christopher.
Yeah. I'll be honest, when I first saw him, I didn't even think he was a child. I just thought there was, like, another
a small
flavor
person.
Alien.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, that we didn't learn a lot about, like, the alien culture or anything like that.
That would have been nice.
Why
were
the
they there? It obviously looked like a refugee ship with a million emaciated aliens on it.
Yeah.
You know, what were they escaping from?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, they did make mention at the beginning that the command module had been ejected beforehand. So, I mean, that would still fit in with that supposition that, you know, they could have been, you know, maybe they were prisoners. Maybe they were... you know, inferior members of the race being dropped off somewhere, you know, or, excuse me, it could have been
a prison ship.
Yeah, a prison ship just dropping them off and abandoning them. You know, why not?
Yeah.
You know, I did make a notation that, very similar to what you had just, the observation you had just made, where I said it was Schindler's List meets Alien Nation.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kept waiting for Mandy Patinkin to jump out from behind a rock and start clicking.
Speaking of which, if they'd only been on Earth for 20 years, they did an amazing job with understanding the linguistics of speaking through little mandible attachments. Because, they, you know, everyone else could understand them perfectly. It was pops and clicks to me.
Right.
You know, I mean, I think it takes a little longer than that just to pick up French. But evidently, you know, the completely alien, you know, verbiage and everything.
You know, there's a French joke in there. I was like, well, you know what the real secret to understanding French is?
What's that?
Wanting to talk to a Frenchman.
And so we've alienated the South Africans and
the French.
we're on a roll.
Yeah. Well, that's two countries. How many more can we piss off?
I had a completely inappropriate joke to tell you just now, but it doesn't lend itself to the podcast.
Post-production.
Well, I'm not sure, because you might want to leave it in, because it's that good. So, funny story. As you were at Walmart yesterday...
I don't like to talk about that.
Yeah, well, I was there yesterday, too.
I can't stand that story.
So, talking about alienating people and being... just a little bit politically incorrect.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I just have to qualify this. If any of my friends listen to this, I go on a lot about how much I hate Walmart. If I didn't have a sick child in the car and I didn't need both an electric grill and nacho cheese at the same time, I never would have parked in the Walmart parking lot. Okay, I feel better.
Continue. So we buy the couple of things that we have to buy, and we go up to the register, and we see this, the young man's ringing us out. And they wear lanyards around their necks. And on his lanyard, of course, was his name, was Tyrell or Tyrone or something like that. I remember there was a T involved. And below it was another little lanyard that he had. He was obviously a new hire, because it was like a cheat sheet of like terms that he had to learn, like for a blue shirt test or a blue vest test or whatever it is they do. And I just find
it hilarious that the back of the vest, it says, "Where can I help you?" So you only see it when they're walking away from you.
Correct. This might be worth leaving in. So I'm there, and I'm he's having trouble ringing the gift card. So to pass the time, I'm kind of reading his little cheat sheet that's hanging on his chest right there for everyone to see. And it's codes, very similar to a lot of retailers will use. You know, code Adam is a lost child. Code 1 is I need help somewhere, you know. And this was his cheat sheet of his codes that he needed to learn. And three of them really caught my attention. Number one, because they would have to create a code for it, considering that it must have happened a few times, but the unfortunate nature of the codes that they chose to use. So they had a code orange, which was a dangerous chemical situation, which, after thinking about it, thinking...
Yeah, I mean, they sell propane.
They sell propane, they sell bleach, yeah. You know, it's not like a guy with sarin gas.
Necessarily.
They had a code green, which is a hostage situation, which I can understand happening.
Okay.
And the one that I think was most unfortunate was a man with a gun is a code brown.
That is so insensitive.
And I'm not making it up. Like, I'm looking at it and going, wow, really? They called it a code brown. They did that.
You know what's amazing is, like, if Sean Hannity hears this, or Reverend Wright, or somebody gets a hold of this, can you imagine the protest lines? And it will all be because... of the Blue Mondays
Blue
podcast.
Mondays will be at the White House, Lincoln bedroom. So, speaking of the White House, I don't remember seeing too much government influence other than the organizations that were worked for in...
They were mostly privately held corporations.
Yeah, like evidently in the... Well, I don't really think this was the future. I think the timeline said it was like, you know, around where we're at now.
Yeah, but, it's like if the spaceship landed tomorrow, this would be 20 years in the future.
Yeah, like I'm pretty sure, feel pretty safe in saying that if right now an alien craft were to land in Johannesburg, South Africa, I'm pretty sure there would be American troops there.
Oh, yeah.
Or a multinational, you know, peacekeeping force or the UN or...
But would they still be there 20 years later if nothing was going on?
Nah, I can kind of see that, I suppose. Well, obviously something's going on because they're running drugs and guns and, you know, having warlords in wheelchairs trying to cut your arm off.
Yeah, and we won't mention why. But I got to say that there's been a lot of flack given up against the producers and the director of the movie for the way that the Nigerians specifically were treated. Mm-hmm. Not treated, but represented in this movie.
Yeah, they really were the bad of the bad.
Oh, they were the absolute worst of the bad. I mean, you know, at one point that's going to be a big spoiler, so I'm not going to bother mentioning what.
I'm pretty sure in most of our podcasts we've spoiled them pretty well.
Yeah, and I mean it's been out for a few weeks, so what the hell?
Yeah.
The head Nigerian believes that if he eats the aliens, he will assume their power and be able to use their weapons. and he's had a few prawns served to him.
Which, it's actually, that's something that I kind of smiled at when I saw it, because it is realistic. I mean, there's a lot of these cultures. I do my fair share of watching the National Geographic Channel. Thank you. Where there really is, like, human trafficking, and there's... I remember seeing one not too long ago that there was, like, a leper colony, and they were stealing the little leper children and, like, grinding them up and serving them because it cured all sorts of stuff. Didn't seem to work for the leper, though.
No.
I mean, obviously, if you have leprosy, you know, one thing or the other, you're not cured.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's just one of the things. I think it's a matter of people protesting too much, because if you know anything about, you know, the history of Africa, Nigerians, as a rule, not very nice people. I mean, you very seldom hear about... you know, Nigerian warlords being, you know, like building orphanages and aqueducts so that farming can take place out there.
They wouldn't call them warlords right. if they were building churches.
Exactly. So, I mean, yeah, I myself don't have a problem with that. I like my warlords to be cannibalistic as much as the next guy.
And again, you know, kind of just looking at the guy, like his whole entourage and everything, just... It was another one of those situations where, like, you felt okay to watch them explode.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Which, speaking of explosions, I had made mention earlier that the weapons of the aliens were biologic in nature, which was a great frustration to the scientists who were trying to investigate them, because they couldn't make the weapons work. Now, this was one... flaw that this is one big hole that I wanted to poke, because I'd like to see you turn this one around, because I mean, anything that you had a problem with, I basically said, well, yeah, well, what about this?
Yeah, but.
All right. They have the alien weapons.
Yeah.
For one reason or another, well, actually, no, we've already mentioned that Vandersloot was becoming an alien. For one reason or another, they have never been able to get the alien weapons to fire, because they are genetically encoded to only be able to be fired by the prawns.
Yeah.
They have prawns committing the worst crimes imaginable. That's the reason that they created the concentration camps. They couldn't find one prawn who would fire the weapons for them for a can of cat food.
Well, I kind of see what you're saying.
They had to wait for a human-alien hybrid to come along with an alien arm that would be genetically able to fire the weapon before they actually fired any of the weapons?
At the same time, too, I mean, you kind of got to extrapolate back and think that I'm pretty sure they tried that. You know, you mentioned concentration camps. It's like saying, you know, take someone that's in a concentration camp and give them a weapon and see what happens.
Yeah.
You know.
Actually, it would be more like take somebody who's in a concentration camp, give them a weapon, and tell them to shoot one of their own.
Yeah, exactly.
And, I mean, there are documented cases of, you know, the Jews in the concentration camps, you know, doing horrible things against each other when they weren't even promised anything. I mean, there's a famous story, I think Eli Wiesel mentioned it in his book Night, where they brought somebody into a room and they were interrogating him because they knew that somebody had, like, diamonds, you know, one of the old women had swallowed her wedding ring or something, and they didn't know who it was. So they just put this guy in a chair with a pot of soup on the stove, and they never even said to him, if you tell us, we'll give you soup. They just said, who's holding their rings, you know, where is this, where's that contraband? And these people would open up to him just because they were in the room with, you know, food being cooked. You know, so I mean, I don't think it's a big stretch to imagine that the prawns would do the same thing, you know, especially since they were already committing huge crimes, and you know, that's the reason that they were herded up and put into the camps in the first place.
Well, I don't think, I mean, you keep referring to them as camps. I don't think that was the intent. I mean, that's kind of what the District 10, which you find out about later in the movie,
right,
turns into. But they really meant it as a peaceful, you know, second district of, you know, people
with just barbed wire fence around it.
Well, it's the little, you know, fictitious news reports, you know, showed that everything was hunky-dory in the beginning, but they had to, you know, turn into a slum, and this is when the crime came up and everything like that. Like, I wouldn't refer to Compton as a concentration camp, but they have fences and barbed wire and things like that.
Hmm. Wow, we're pissing off a lot of people now. But okay, so long and short of it, I think as far as this movie goes, I enjoyed it a lot more than you did.
Oh no, don't get me wrong, I really enjoyed it.
Oh, you did.
Okay. Like I said, I really liked it, but there was a couple of like forks in the road where the story could have been different, and it just didn't go the way that I expected it to.
Yeah.
Like you're kind of watching it and going, "Oh, okay, I can see what's going to happen here. This is going to happen. Oh, it's going to be really cool." And then it doesn't happen, and the less cool of the options happen. And you're like, "Well, you know, that's okay, I suppose." You know, like I was expecting, you know, like I said, that the vial of fuel to be, you know, a virus or a weapon or something like, "Oh, it turns out to be gasoline." Okay, whatever. You know, okay, he gets sprayed with it. I'm expecting him to die, not grow like a weird mutant arm. It could have gone different ways. It was good. It was original. I really did enjoy it, but there was a couple of those spots where it just kind of held a weird taste in my mouth, especially at the end when, you know, you see Yoran and he's molding flowers and evidently the change is complete. And why is it 3 years that they're coming back?
Because that's how long it's going to take them to get back to their world.
Yeah, I know, but there's billions of these things, well, 2.5 million of these things on Earth, and nobody else can help. You know? Like, there's no prawn doctor that they can just hook them up with a whole lot of Meow Mix and...
I think it had to be wet food, actually. Okay. Well, so in your opinion,
so overall, I mean, it wasn't. I expected, like, this was going to be a blockbuster. It was going to be amazing. It was going to be, you know, something that you talk about for years. And it just turned out to be, yeah, it was a solid movie, but it wasn't, you know, oh, this is something I have to definitely own, and I'm going to buy the director's cut and that type of thing. You know,
see, now that's where I think I was right, because I do think this is one of those movies that are going to be talked about for years. You know, I actually think it. I would put this in the rank of one of a very few really important films to see. I mean, I really do think, and this is not meant to be derogatory at all, I really do think this is like Schindler's List with aliens in more than one level. I mean, the message is similar. I also think the quality of the story is similar.
Oh, yeah,
similar.
The message is there, and the message is important. But, right. I mean, it's not like, you know, you know, most people, I can't say most people, but traditionally, you know, every so often you'll sit down and watch Schindler's List.
Yep.
You know, because you're like, you know, it's important
to
remember.
Hey, it's Thanksgiving. Let's see the Jews get killed.
Yeah. You know, you want to remember the plight of the people. Like,
right.
Christmas time, you always watch the Ten Commandments, that type of thing. Like, this isn't something that's like, okay, it's really important we sit down and watch District 9.
Right.
You know, it's good. The message is there. It's cool that everybody may have possibly learned something from it, but... It's not like, you know, something that should be at cons and be talked about as something that's ridiculously important. Yeah, it was good, and it had more of a message than some of the other stuff that we've reviewed, but...
You mean like next week when we're going to be talking about Star Trek?
Yeah, there wasn't too much of a message there.
As my brother would say, it was the epitome of popcorn films for the year.
Oh, and this ought to be fun next week, because I actually have a really positive opinion of Star Trek, but...
No, don't leak it.
Oh, well, they'll find out soon enough. Okay. The people that actually know me will know where I'm coming from anyways.
All right. So I think it's an important film that probably will be studied in the future, analyzed. I do recommend actually purchasing it, especially since you can get it fairly cheap now. I think Amazon.com's got it for $17.99 on Blu-ray right now. And it comes with a digital copy, which I hate to admit, I actually finished watching it in bed on my computer with a set of headphones. Much to the chagrin of my lovely bride, who was lying next to me, you know, knitting and then trying to sleep while I was going, no, don't go in there. And then watching people get turned via alien weaponry into flying puddles.
Which, yes, flying puddles, crimson spray.
Yeah, it was actually pretty awesome. But, all right, we're going to do something a little bit different here this week. We're actually going to close out with a bit of... what's commonly referred to as pod-safe music. Do you want to go ahead and introduce it?
Sure. Which track do you have?
It's listed as track 3, and I'll be honest, I forgot to go in and re-encode it.
Okay, so track 3 We have a local band, and maybe this could be a segment that we have each week, but a local band.
Yeah, I do have another piece from Jeff for next week.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
I'm sure that our group is okay with screaming. So this local band, it's a group of guys from around the area. It's a band known as Come Over Sleepover. I know a couple of the guys personally. I've at least met three of them, and I'm really good friends with the guitar player. Give a shout out to Dan. How's it going?
Hi, Dan.
I'm not quite sure what track we have queued up, but they do have currently four songs out on a demo, and hopefully we can find them a way to get signed somewhere. So that'd be amazing, and I guess that's what we're trying to do.
Actually, we could kind of build up the mystery a little bit, because if you like this, you go up to grooveshark.com.
Yep, Grooveshark or MySpace Music, or I think there are a couple of other places too, and their lyrics are up on Google and stuff like that.
But if you like this, definitely hit one of those websites and give them a listen. You can also buy their music.
Actually, you can see live performances on YouTube under the channel, I believe it's Music Matters TV. They did a 3 or 4 song set for those guys, real underground local music little video channel thing that they have going on. And that was interesting. There's some interviews and stuff like that up there. But I guess without further ado, here is playing us out for this week. Come Over Sleepover, and next week we'll see you guys fresh and bright and early with Star Trek. So much for starting.
You know the notes you